thank you. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you, O God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege to gather. Thank you, O God, because your word profits us. Your word comes alive in our minds, in our hearts. Thank you, O God, because we're able to see, we're able to hear, we're able to comprehend. Thank you. Thank you. We give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, because the fruit and the profiting thereof is evident in our lives. Give you praise and glory. Thank you for your power present right here, able to heal every sickness, disease, and infirmity, able to drive out. So it is in Jesus' name. Thank you, O God, because our minds and our hearts are touched, changed, and transformed by your word and by the power of your spirit. We give you all of the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. All right, before you take your seat, you greet five people. High five. High five. Five people. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. How about giving a high five in a wicked way? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. See, I'm greatly helped. I'm strengthened with all might. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, mine is a walk of victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. See, every time I read, study, learn the word, my eyes, my heart beholds Jesus. Every time I spend time with the word of God, my eyes, my mind, my heart beholds Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, our faith confession, this is the third, right? Should be number three, are we? Okay, our faith confession, and we want to continue from where we stopped, and we will also look at some things that we rushed the last teaching, and I guess we'll be fine. Praise God. And also, do not forget that the essence of Bible teaching is so that the fruits can be seen in your life. Amen? Yes, you will learn, you will understand, right? You will be able to teach others. Praise God. And you know the reason you are teaching others is so that what you are teaching can profit them, right? Can be seen in their lives. So, it is good that, first of all, your life becomes a first-hand example of that which the word says. Amen? Praise God. Amen. You know, there are times we want to say something, and then the way we sound, we trash the other things or the other truths, as it were. You know, don't let me sound like this. Don't let me. I wanted to say there was a time, but don't let me sound like that, because the truth is, here and there you find people sounding like that, whereby people were Let me say it this way. People kept saying that it is about the fruit of God's word showing or visible in your life. It's about it. They emphasize it so much that it suggests that ministry is not necessary or essential. You get it? So they almost sound like it's not about preaching to other people. It's about your own life. Forget preaching. Let it reflect in your life, right? I mean, I'm sure you must have heard here and there. Now, you find those also that we now say the core, right, of Christianity is to reach the lost. So, you got to preach. You got to do ministry. It's not about, and I'm not saying this is wrong. Amen. I'm not trying to tilt to one side or to say the two sides are bad. You know, it's not about that. It's about reaching people. You know, it's not about my life must this. I mean, those on that side could go as far as saying that it is the fruit of the word that is seen in your life that would make people want to serve Jesus or believe in Jesus or glorify. And then they now tilts to the other side, say, you know, ministry, and then sound as though the fruit of the word need not be seen in your life. Just be given to ministry. And I'm sure you know by now that each time, you know, we sound like this, it becomes a problem, right? Even with a subject like salvation. Okay? Eternal salvation, then take it so far. I'm not saying there's no eternal salvation. Are you there? It's not eternal. Okay, what is it? It's temporal, right? So is it that as God gives you, the devil steals it by the door? You know, things like that. And then we like to pitch things against the other. You know, if it's not this, then it is that. Amen? And personally, I'm not the type that likes to be grouped. But as much as you like it, it will group you. You know, that guy preaches eternal salvation. Avoid him. Okay? Or you are a grace preacher. You know, that one, I even never liked it. I don't know why. You know, or you want to summarize sound doctrine, you now say new creation realities. Amen. Are you here? It's a book. Go and buy it. It's by E.W. Kenyon. Buy your copy. Amen. New creation realities. But it is important that we understand what God expects. Okay? And that's the reason Bible study must be true and sincere and at the same time thorough. Okay? Bible study is thorough so that we can diligently find out what God is saying or wants us to do. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And some time ago, remember we explained that verse like this. In simple terms, if God wanted to say something after you have spoken, amen, from his word, if you do exactly what is in 2 Timothy 2:15, God will say, I have no more words. Now, that is not to sound like, you know, we can replace God. I believe you know we can't. Are you there? Amen. I believe you know we can't. Huh? We are God. even the sound, how to respond. I said, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. Amen? So what was I saying? The explanation that he has said what I wanted to say. You know, like people usually say, you know, say, just pass the mic around. So please explain Genesis 1:2. Someone will now speak. Say, give it to the person. Like he said, or he has said what I wanted to say. Okay? So if you do it diligently, you would have spoken on behalf of God. That's the point we're trying to make. Okay? Not that replace God or anything like that. No, that's not the point. The point is that if you diligently handle the scriptures, when you speak, it is as though you have spoken on God's behalf. Uh-huh. That is not to say that we're not growing. That is not to say that there is there is a point where you just arrive at all knowledge, that you don't grow again, and then when you begin to speak that way, you are speaking on God's behalf. That's not the point. The point is to say that if we diligently rely on the Bible or on the scriptures, we will exactly be saying what God wants us to say. You get the point? We'll exactly be saying what God wants us to say. And in doing so, we now are able to discover what is God's intent. What does he want? Of course, in knowing what he wants, we will first know what he said. Right? Are you there? In knowing what he wants, we will first know what he said. So, we study and discover this is what God said. In knowing what he said, of course, you know his will is his word, right? Aha. So, if you get to know his word, then you discover his will. His will is what he wants. His will is his desire. Praise God. So, more importantly, is to discover what God has said in his word, and that way we'll know what he wants. And we are saying that what he wants is for his word to greatly influence your life. Praise God. To greatly influence your life. And Paul sounded somewhat in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. Okay? But I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen? Of course, you know, castaway, when somebody wants to say, no, there's no eternal salvation, just come here, see castaway. Yeah, that's what you mean, castaway, out. Of course, castaway simply means disqualified. Okay? Disqualified, this has nothing to do with salvation, as it were. This has to do with God's word reflecting. So it's in one's life. When I have preached to others, I myself. And you know, when we have ideologies in our heads and in our minds that you do not find in God's word, at times, subconsciously, it becomes the lens through which we see things. Take, for instance, if I have an ideology, or we have an ideology of our Christian journey on this earth is to eventually be
qualified for heaven. When you read 1 Corinthians 9:27, it will be your goggle, your glasses, right? It will be your magnifying glass, the lens through which you'll be seeing things. You know, say no. See what he said. It's clear. Preach to others. I myself should be a cast away. What's cast away? I mean, you'll be seeing it. Amen. And that's why you must spend time with the Word of God. Spend time listening to God's Word. Spend time learning God's Word. Spend time reading God's Word. Spend time studying God's Word. So that you can arrive at what God wants you to know. What God wants you to understand. Praise God. Amen. So, we got to this point by saying that the truth of God's word ought to reflect in your life, and that is what God wants. Amen? When we're closing in the last teaching, we referenced Romans 10:17. And quoted it, which says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in the Greek Bible, it will sound this way: so then faith by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of Christ. All right, what you will find there is Rhema Christus, right? Preaching of Christ. So, when Christ is preached, of course, you know the pretext to verse 17, right? From 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him that have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without the preacher, right? So then faith by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of Christ. So, when Christ is preached, there is an opportunity for hearing. It is in that hearing that faith comes. If we're going to use the King James language, it is in that hearing that faith comes. Okay? So, either to the sinner or to the saint, the hearing of God's word births or produces or inspires faith. The hearing of God's word does that. It is in the hearing that faith is inspired in our hearts. It is when the sinner hears the gospel, it is in hearing that faith is inspired in our hearts. In hearing. Yes, no doubt, the gospel can be preached to someone last month and then it didn't agree or didn't outwardly put faith in it, but it stays in the mind of the person, and maybe someone raises it again, or the person revisits the message, and then, okay, this is so and so and so, or this is what to be done, just like Paul, right? We don't find a ready example in the book of Acts where somebody particularly preached to Paul and then Paul believed and all of that. Maybe he was in a meeting, he heard the gospel, he came out and then said the sinner's prayer, right? And then maybe they got him filled with the Holy Ghost there. And then we look at the account of Acts 9 and now say his salvation experience is different. You know, because we don't have evidence, as it were, that Jesus snatched him. But God's word is true. Amen? And must remain true. Romans 10, right? Verse 9. If you confess the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from there, you shall be saved. That is how to be saved. Of course, by the time you get to the book of Acts, in chapter 7, Is it chapter 7? Verse 1, thereabout. We're talking about, what's his name? Stephen, right? It was said that Paul was there. Of course, where is it again? Not verse 1. Or is it chapter 6? Where am I? If you find it, tell me. What? 7:50. Thank you very much. Aha. 7:58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. So, if we are going to think like the book before us, right, we would say that from verse 1 all the way to verse 57, Paul heard everything. Stephen went through the scriptures to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul heard it. Are you following? So to say that the gospel was not preached to him, Jesus thus snatched him, is unfounded, right? And I mean, the other one I usually say is, if Jesus did that on the road to Damascus, can he do it today? Praise God. Amen? I mean, he should have visited Putin. You don't know who that is? Or Putin. He should have. On the road to Moscow. Putin, Putin. Why are you like this? I hope there are no spies. Putin, I'm playing, no. He should have done that. Don't you think so? Or, that was then. Now it's different. No, now it's not different. Amen? So, an opportunity to hear is what inspires faith. So there's no denial. I mean, it's interesting and very good that it's in verse 58. There's no denial that maybe as Stephen was about to start, he went to the toilet. So he came back when the sermon was over. I said, what was this guy still saying? Let's yammer to him, Joe. He said, guys, crowding. Say, he didn't hear. Of course he did. Amen? So, faith is strengthened. Faith is inspired. Or, like the King James in Romans 10:17, faith comes when the word of God is preached. Hallelujah. Faith comes when the word of God is preached. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul wasn't saying that the saved spouse, by their conduct, will save the unbelieving spouse. Just by, okay, you are changed, you know. Okay, me too. I believe in Jesus. No. The gospel will still be preached. I'm sure you know that, for instance, the gifts of the Spirit or healing the sick invites people to believe in Jesus, right? So that conduct of the believing spouse is an invitation. It does not replace preaching the gospel. Does that make sense? It's an invitation. Okay. I want to hear. Or, I mean, just start paying attention, beginning to draw closer to the gospel. But the gospel must be heard. Praise God. Amen. The gospel must be heard. So, on the subject of confession, it is, or we say confession is an act of faith. It is an act of faith. Confession is an act of faith. Mark 5, the woman heard, then she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Then she touched, and she was whole. And when she was whole, what did Jesus say to her? Daughter, thy faith. Is it daughter or woman? Woman, daughter. So, okay, move on. Thy faith had made thee whole, right? So, faith, of course, you know, has corresponding actions. But if we are going to stay with Mark 5, we can say, when she heard, because a hearing is not a product of herself, in the sense that you cannot just, how do I say it now? You cannot, by your own action, produce, in quotes, that you just say, she heard, and then you attribute that to her. No. Somebody spoke, right? Then she heard. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, having heard, what happened after? She said and she touched. So the things she did, we can qualify them or term them as what Jesus called her faith. Right? The things she did. So she said and she touched. That made her whole. So confession is an act of faith. Because I believe something, I am saying or speaking. Because I believe something, I am therefore speaking or saying it. So like we have said in this series, at the background of speaking is a heart that is persuaded. You remember that? A heart that is persuaded. A heart that is persuaded. Now, so that it doesn't look one way, let me say this too. That are we then saying that you cannot speak until you are fully persuaded? No. We're not saying that you cannot speak, that you ought to be silent until you are fully persuaded. No. You can speak from persuasion, and you can also speak unto persuasion. You can speak from your heart. You can also speak to your heart. Right? Okay. So the lesson we must get here is that do not be silent. Speak what you know. Speak what you believe. Speak your persuasions. Amen? And Let's not also forget that we have said that confession is part and parcel of our Christian walk. It's part of our Christian worship. Hebrews 13 and 15. By him, therefore, you know what that means? Whatever he said after, it is because of Jesus Christ that we are able to. He made us to be able to. So by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks or confessing to his name. Are you there? Giving thanks or confessing to his name. So confession is part and parcel of our Christian walk. It's part and parcel of our faith. Confession can be called Christian worship. Because you know, it's not mere talk. It is speaking God's word from the place of persuasion. So Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Romans 10, 9 to 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. So, confession, like we have said so far, is to carry out an activity by words. Okay, so we can say confession is an activity carried out by words. And it has a Hebrew background. Remember, I went to Joshua 7:19, right? And 2 Chronicles 30 and 22. And we're able to see two words there. In Joshua 7:19, we saw the word Todah, T-O-D-A-H. And then 2 Chronicles 30 and 22, we saw the word Yada, Y-A-D-A-H. And observing these two words will help us to understand further homologio and homologia. Of course, verb and noun. H-O-M-O. I believe you'll be writing the right thing. Or you'll be writing homologio. O-M-O. H-O. M-O, right? Then L-O-G-O, right? That should be common, right? I believe so. So, the word yada literally means, or we say, literally, to use. Yada means literally to use the hand physically to throw at or away. So if we expand it, we can say to use or hold out the hand physically to throw a stone or an arrow at or away. Again, literally, to use or hold out the hand physically to throw a stone or an arrow at or away. Are you there? The word yada, remember the illustration, right? What we just defined now, imagine it. Then, since confession is an activity by words, then you replace that activity with words. But it's the same thing you want to achieve. Are you following that? You replace that activity with words. So by words, you will do the same thing. By words, you will achieve the same result. Okay? Yada is used to speak of reverence or worship. Then you can put in brackets, usually with extended hands. So, it's a word that describes an activity that you can see, but has implications. Amen? An activity that you can see that has implications. So, a simple example is, right, lifting up holy hands. Right? Or maybe, you get? If you don't get, forget about it. So extended hands, and that implies reverence or worship. Other times, still on yada, suggests to cast out or force out. Again, in brackets, with the wringing of hands. You need to start with W, right? Then ring. With the wringing of hands. Wringing could refer to squeezing, right? Or, you know, something like that. So if you are thinking about, let's say, a bottle or a tube with a content, something in it, and then you take it and then it comes out. Okay? You force out or you cast out. Are you there? You force out or you cast out. Now, don't forget, all of these activities are to do what? Or what are you to do? To replace with words. Not, I don't mean that you forget the entire activities. No. It means that what you are going to do, or you want to achieve the same results with the words of your mouth. Are you following this? So, if I want to get out something, I want to cast something out, I want to force something out, but I am not going to use my hands, I'm going to use words. Amen? I'm going to use words. So, you think of confession that way. Of course, confession has varied applications, like we have seen. We went through the scriptures here and there. I mean, Joshua 7:19, 2 Chronicles 30 and 22, Ezra 10:11, Daniel 9:4, and they were not all the same thing. Some confession to God, you know, you say something out. Some had context to it in terms of thanksgiving, okay? Like in Hebrews 13 and 15. The reason the translators use thanksgiving, even though it's the word homologio, right, is because of the context. To offer a sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to his name. But how you will give thanks is to use words. Are you there? How you give thanks is to use words. So, note that. Then, Toda, right? also refers to an extension of the hand. And this implies adoration. This could also tend more to singing, but I mean not just generally singing, to adore. So it describes the posture of the singer or the worshiper. An extension of the hands. So by what that person is doing, you can then say this is adoration or thanksgiving. Are you there? Are you sure? Okay. So all of these definitions are to create imageries in your mind, right? And then you replace, as it were, with, I don't mean replace the entire thing. What I mean is how to carry out the activities. You now pay more attention to words. You remember the illustration? A goat is eating your foodstuff, and then you want to get it out of that place. You have to pick up a stone, as it were, and throw, I mean, if that's the means you want to use. Or if we're not going to go by the literal definition we see here of yada, you run off there to get it out of there. Now, what you want to achieve is to get it away. Now, can you stay where you are, as it were, and use your words to achieve the same results? Are you following this? Confession. Confession. You use the words of your mouth to achieve the same results. Now, don't forget that in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and then God said. That's a practical example, even though, I mean, you're not going to see maybe the word confession there, as it were, but of course, we can clearly see in verse 3 that God said. Now, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and don't forget, there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved, and then God said. What did God say? Let there be light. Okay? So, God wants to achieve light in an earth, or the earth, filled with darkness. And what does he do? He speaks. He uses words to achieve light in darkness. And clearly, there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Amen? So, from Mark 11, 23, God in Genesis 1, 2 to 3, had what he said. Is that simple? Okay? So I've said God is a speaking spirit, and Ephesians 5:1, be ye followers of God as their children. So as their children, you imitate God, and you would also learn and practice speaking. Amen? You will learn and practice speaking. So we ought to be too. In Numbers 14, Numbers chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14, remember we went to 13 and looked at, you know the story, Moses sending each representative from the 12 tribes of Israel to go and spy out the land. And they were there 40 days. You remember? Now, in Numbers 14, we find Joshua and Caleb as worthy examples of speaking from persuasion. Of course, the other 10 too spoke from persuasion, right? They were persuaded by what they saw in the land. But Joshua and Caleb were persuaded by God's word, despite what they saw in the land. You remember? Numbers 13 and verse 1, that's where you find, verse 2. God had said to Moses to send men to go search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. So they went in that strength, despite what they saw. They saw giants, they saw a people with great defense, but Joshua and Caleb had a different confession. Does that make sense? So they spoke from persuasion. God said he will give us the land, and so we are able to go up to possess it. And so they are bread for us. And so their defense is departed from them. Are you there? While the others are, these guys are giants. They have great defense. We are like grasshopper, Abi. And said all of that, but Joshua and Caleb are our examples in Numbers 13 and 14 of speaking from persuasion even when it does not look like it. Does that make sense? So, it is easy to speak when it looks like it. But the journey of faith is to, from God's word, come to a point that you know and are certain. Let me use the words that I used earlier, that it looks like it. There's no money in your pocket. Someone calls you and says, I'm bringing money. Sure, I'm coming. And then you start telling people that in a short while, I would have the money to buy what I wanted to buy before. The others will wonder, what are you saying? But you have an assurance. Someone has called you that you trust. And then you begin to sound like there's money now. So God's word gives you that persuasion that your confessions are in line, in tune with the truth of God's word, and not what it looks like naturally. So Joshua and Caleb, great examples. In Numbers 14, 28, you remember what God said to Moses, because of the children of Israel, they murmured. From verse 27, the Lord called them an evil congregation, which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken into my ears, so will I do to you. Amen? Because this is not a scripture to use to say that God is the one that is making everything happen. I say, they will steal my phone today. So God will inspire somebody to steal your phone. I believe you should be getting used to Bible terms, right? Particularly the scriptures. In other words, the lesson here is, if you are in faith, you would have what I desire for you to have. That's from the perspective of God. If you are not in faith, that thing that you are saying will happen to you. I mean, if you go to Exodus, you will think that because they were in unbelief, God now killed them in the wilderness. The people with carcasses fell. But by the time you get to Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews lets us know that those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, it was they died because of their unbelief. Does that make sense? So the lesson here is you will have what you see. Not forgetting Romans 10 and verse 10. It's like a principle. What you believe in your heart, you will say with your mouth. So what they were saying was what they believed in their heart. We are not able. We are not able to go up and possess the land. We are not able. We are not able. So God said, as truly as I live, as you have spoken into my ears, that will I do to you. Amen. So in Mark 11, 22 to 23, Mark 11, 22-23, the disciples with Jesus, went out unto Bethany, and when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and he saw a fig tree, and he expected that there would be figs on it. He was hungry, and then he got there, there was nothing. So the fig tree looked like it had figs, but by the time he came to it, he discovered that there were no figs. And then in verse 14, Jesus said, Mark 11, no man eats fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Can you see that? His disciples heard it. And that's also instructive too. He spoke such that they heard. At times we may be in a position where we don't seem confident. Making confession and say, go now. And you're talking to the mountain to be cast into the sea. Go. We can't even hear. Alright? Even you yourself, after 5 minutes, you can't remember. Or maybe while you're even speaking, you cannot hear what you are saying. His disciples heard it. Now let's move on quickly. So they went, and then came back, and the disciples noticed that they had dried from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance that event. Master, behold the fig tree. Which thou callest is withered away. Then Jesus' response in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Some translations will say, continue, or consistently or constantly have faith in God. Okay, bringing the constancy or consistency to it, as it were. Or have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. In other words, be reliant on God. Be reliant on God in His Word. So the backbone of a true confession is the Word of God, or we can say it this way, full persuasion in God's Word. That's the backbone. And maybe we can remove the word full so that it doesn't put a standard to it and then discourages one not to speak. Persuasion in the truth of God's word is the backbone of confession. So Jesus was simply saying, I was fully persuaded in God. And that's why I said to the fig tree, no more eat of thee hereafter. And the results happened. It was dried from the roots. So he now said to put their attention on a fresh activity and off the fig tree. Jesus has done that one. He now says, if you say to this mountain, I mean, some will argue whether there was a physical mountain there or there was no physical mountain there. But I think that he was pointing their attention to what can be possible. So this is a mountain. Tell it to be cast into the sea and shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen? He shall have whatsoever he saith. So we cannot but see the emphasis on feeding of God, feeding on God's word. Even though it seems not to be prominent or pronounced. There will be no confidence or conviction or persuasion in the first place to boldly speak or confidently speak God's word if there's no persuasion in the word of God. So I must feed on the word. Don't forget Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Hear the word regularly. Technology has helped us to hear the word more. Amen? So today we can hear the word driving. We can hear the word doing house chores. Amen? We can hear the word taking a walk or a stroll. But of course, that doesn't replace you ensuring that you feed on God's word, read the Bible, learn it, study it, so that it can be on and in your mind. Praise God. So as we close, the responsibility of speaking regularly is before us in God's word today. So you will not be silent, you will speak. Now don't forget, we started by saying God wants his word to be fruitful in your life, or that the fruit of learning God's word should be seen in your life. Part of how God designed that the fruit of the word be seen in your life is confession. So if I want the fruit of God's word in my life, I will say it. Amen? You know, when you say God's word, you hear it, right? You yourself hear it. So it means it keeps going into your heart. There is no way you will consistently speak God's word and not be persuaded. So a persuaded heart with a speaking mouth will have tangibly what the word says. Amen? We'll have it. So I will not be afraid. I will not wonder how I will have the mountain be cast into the sea. My confidence will be in the word of God. Hallelujah. Another way we can look at confession, maybe we'll get there in the next teaching, is that when my mouth and my heart align or agree together, there's power in my words. So when I speak, power is released to make that thing happen or come to pass. Praise God. So of course, it is not a formula. If you do this, this will happen. Yes, it looks that way, but it is not just speak, it will happen. No. It is you affirming the truth of God's word in the earth. It is you giving direction to the power of God. Hallelujah. And if there is no confidence in God's word, it will be difficult to speak. And even if you do, it will be difficult to continue to speak. Amen. So our faith confession is a necessity, is part of our regular activities, even for our spiritual growth. You speak God's word that you have seen, learned, understood, and say it for your life. I'm on fire for God. Then you say things like that. Let us say it. Amen. Let us say it. Not that you just speak and not do anything, right? But let us say it. Let us say it. Let us say it. Wake up and say, today I fellowship with God in prayer. In the name of Jesus, I fellowship with God in prayer. Today, the word of God bears fruits in my life. The word of God profits me. Today, the power of God and the life of God is manifest in my body. Amen? You say that, you hear it. You say it again, you hear it. You say it, you hear it. You say it, you hear it. Persuasion or persuaded heart and a speaking mouth always have from God. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Speak God's word. Speak God's word. Come on. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God.